Afghanistan is the world's largest supplier of opium, and it's one of two places we're going to hear about in what U.S. officials call the war on drugs. This week, the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime released a survey of Afghan farmers who grow the raw material for heroin. The office's director, Antonio Maria Costa, is just back from Afghanistan.
And indications resulting from the survey are for possible even larger cultivation 2004 than in the recent past.
In the survey, two out of three Afghan farmers said they plan to significantly increase the size of their opium crops this year. That puts 1.7 million Afghans whose families grow opium in conflict with Afghanistan's government. Antonio Maria Costa says the government plans to destroy the crops using paramilitary militias.
Assisted by Afghan soldiers, the paramilitary walk through fields cultivated with opium with the long sticks in their hands, and they just break the stem of the opium poppy.
Last time you spoke to us a few months ago, you said that warlords allied with the United States were tolerating or even perhaps involved in the drug trade. Is that still the case?
We should qualify. I'm saying warlords in general, whether they are allied to the United States or the other forces. Right and wrong is not being with the insurgents or against the insurgents, or with the drugs or against the drugs, is not black and white situation. There's a lot of gray area. You have a lot of commanders who today are very loyal, fighting alongside with the Americans. The next day are involved in some of the trafficking. The next day we discover are using the revenue from some of this trafficking for personal purposes. And this is the biggest danger I see. If we allow, as long as we allow this system to grow, we see that some of these military commanders turning into the leaders of cartel, narco cartels. And therefore the threat to the central government, and I would say even the threat in terms of the insurgency, the threat is certainly there. And this is something which, in my view, should be stopped as soon as possible.
Something better than one-third of the money in Afghanistan is coming from the drug trade.
Licit or illicit money, yes. Okay. That's correct.
I don't know if you've had a chance in your travels to speak with Barnett Rubin, who's an author and a professor and a frequent visitor to Afghanistan. Barnett Rubin wrote in the Wall Street Journal about the drug trade and other illegal trades in Afghanistan. Afghans cannot build a constitutional order on a criminalized base.
And I strongly endorse what Barnett said, was again keep saying. The president of the country himself, President Karzai, without hesitation, the other day in our meeting, called the drug economy in Afghanistan as a national security threat, as the national security threat.
Has the U.S. military become involved at all in the battle against the opium trade?
Well, this is a crucial subject matter. I'm glad, Steve, that you are raising it. I have been personally and institutionally advocating a greater role by the military now present in Afghanistan, namely NATO, and the coalition forces to operate against the traffickers, to stop the cargoes, to blow the labs. On one specific ground, a significant amount of revenue derived from narcotic trafficking is then channeled through terrorism and through insurgent activities.
We've read a dispatch from a reporter in Afghanistan saying that on at least one occasion the U.S. military actually sent warplanes to bomb an opium lab.
This is correct. It happened a couple of weeks ago, or slightly more than that, in the northern province of Badakhshan. Was a three-pronged attack against the lab and a significant cargo being transported towards the north. The U.S. Air Force provided air cover. The actual interdiction was done by Afghan forces, assisted in the field by UK special forces.
When Antonio Maria Costa urges the United States to get more involved in Afghanistan's drug war, he's suggesting a course the U.S. is already trying in Colombia. The U.S. military is aiding Colombia's anti-drug efforts, though for some Americans that effort carries an enormous human cost. 1 year ago this month, Colombian guerrilla fighters kidnapped three Americans. Ever since, an American mother has been waiting for the return of Mark Gonsalves.
Mark is 31. He'll be 32 in April, which I hope he doesn't spend it there.
That's Jo Rossano, who took our call at her home in Connecticut. Her son worked for a U.S. military contractor, a subsidiary of Northrop Grumman. The company sent him to Colombia, where Pentagon contractors assist Colombia's government. Mark Gonsalves flew in surveillance planes, photographing coca crops that form the raw material for cocaine. His plane crashed in February 2003. Guerrilla fighters captured the plane crash survivors, executed two of them, and then took three American hostages, including Joe Rosano's son.
They want imprisoned guerrillas that are being held in Colombia.
They want people to be let out of Colombian prisons.
Right, right.
Have you heard in any way from your son, Mark?
The only time I heard it was when Victoria Bruce approached me. She's a producer and also writes books, I think. And one day she called to see if I would like to send a video message to my son through a Colombian journalist. And I did. And then a month later, she called and she said it went through and there's a message for you from your son. And I was just, oh my God. It was the first proof of life.
And in what form did the message come back? Was it a videotape?
Yeah, I saw my son crying and pleading with his government. They were at a table surrounded with guerrillas with machine guns or something, I don't know. And I saw the three men crying and pleading for a diplomatic solution. It's just so devastating. Your child being... it's just so horrible. I'm sorry.
It's okay. That's all right. We can wait a moment. We can even stop if you're not comfortable going on.
No, I'm okay. I'm okay.
If it's not too difficult, can I ask, when did you receive that videotape that showed your son?
They taped it in July, so it was like in August.
In August of 2003?
Right.
This is a terrible question, I suppose, to contemplate, but how, if at all, do you know that your son is still alive?
I don't. I just, my faith in God, and in my heart, God keeps saying to me, he will be home alive. That's the only thing I have.
Joe Rosano says she's angry that the Colombian and U.S. governments haven't done more to free her son. Colombia's government refuses to negotiate with the guerrillas over the hostages or anything else because talks have failed in the past. U.S. State Department officials say they have posted a $5 million reward for information leading to the kidnappers and that three Americans died while searching for Mark Gonsalves and the other hostages. Although the so-called war on drugs looks increasingly like a real war, the head of the U.N. Office on Drugs and Crime declines to call it a war. In our interview, Antonio Maria Costa suggested the drug trade is really a business that satisfies a worldwide demand. Unless the U.S. and other countries reduce their demand, that violent business can destabilize entire nations.